This is Digital Story Podcast number 672, January 29th, 2019. Today's theme is the Olympus OMD EM1X. It's not what you think. I'm Derek Story. One of the first questions that you may have asked yourself after hearing about the EM1X is, why did Olympus make this camera? It's relatively big, somewhat expensive, and it's not full frame. The internet is brimming with posts explaining why this camera won't succeed. What they're missing is the bigger picture. And I'll tell you what that is in today's TDS Photography Podcast. I remember the first night that I started thinking about this camera. It was really interesting because I had known about it for a while. And then they made the official announcement. And so I studied the specs and, you know, looked at all the stuff to make sure that the camera that I knew about was the same camera that was being released. And it was. And I remember one night I was just sort of thinking about this. I was thinking about it and thinking about it. And I'm going, you know, there's a reason why they released this particular piece of hardware. But I couldn't quite get to the bottom of it at first. You know, sort of thinking, are they grasping at straws? Or, you know, do they think that they need to do something, you know, in the sports field because, you know, Micro Four Thirds extends lenses and so sports is a natural thing, you know, and going down that whole road there. And then it finally dawned on me, you know, why they released this camera. And I couldn't believe it. When the light bulb went on, I just felt like it's so obvious. But yet, you know, I hadn't grasped it. I had sort of fallen prey to a lot of the things that I was reading on the internet. Probably you're reading a lot of those things yourself and maybe asking yourself the same sort of questions that I was that night. So before I get into what I think this camera is really about, let's talk a little bit about some of its, you know, big time features, because it's got a whole bunch of them. So I'm going to go over the features for a minute, and then we'll get back into the philosophical business side of things here. At the top of my list is that this camera has true computational photography functions powered by dual TruePic 8 image processors. One of the examples of this is the digital neutral density filter. I'm going to talk more about all these features in a bit and how they kind of play into the big picture here. So yes, a Micro Four Thirds camera, a mirrorless camera with computational photography functions. Integrated vertical grip with dual batteries. And this is important because not only does it make for the ergonomics of this, especially when holding it in the vertical position, but you have two big time batteries inside this grip, which means that you can shoot for an entire event that you're covering, you know, without having to worry about changing batteries. Dual SD memory card slots. And we know this is important because when when we saw some mirrorless cameras from some other brands come out without them, especially expensive cameras that cost more than $2,000, we really heard a lot of complaining about the fact that there were only single memory card slots. This camera has two of them. Handheld high resolution shot mode. This is big. We've had high res shot mode in Olympus before. I mean, the EM1 Mark II has it, but that had to be on tripod in order for it to work. Now you can do it handheld. And by the way, the pictures that it produces are 50 megapixels. Okay, so there's a 20 megapixel sensor that's built into this camera, but in handheld high-res shot mode, you can produce 50 megapixel shots. And by the way, they're good. It has a built-in field sensor system, and that includes integrated GPS module, along with an electronic compass, a temperature sensor, acceleration sensor. So it has all that stuff built into it. And having the built-in GPS module, I just think is fantastic. One of the things that I absolutely love about their little pocket camera, the TG4 and the TG5, is the GPS module. I mean, it is great when you're not at home base and you're out in the world and you can, you know, record location data without any sort of additional devices. It's wonderful. It does do 4K video, 5-axis sensor shift, IS, up to 7 stops. So it has up to 7 stops of image stabilization. 15 frames per second shooting and expanded ISO to 25,600. 121 point all cross type phase detect AF system. So the AF on this is really nice. 121 points. They're all cross sensors. And then it has super weather sealed construction. This thing has gaskets everywhere. It can take freezing temperatures. It can take wet weather. Dust, all that kind of stuff it can stand up to. So it can be your camera that's out and about. So if you're out and about and you've got the GPS module, you've got the super weather sealed, you've got 2 batteries, you've got a camera that you can, you know, be out in the world with and not have to worry about. The price tag for all of this is $2,999. One of the things that has got people thinking and talking is, all right, do I want to pay $3,000 for a camera that has a Micro Four Thirds sensor? And, you know, that's, you know, one of the big question marks around this camera is that price combined with that size of sensor. And this is where you start thinking, okay, what's Olympus doing here? You know, wouldn't it have been better to come out with a weather-sealed PenF or, you know, an OMD EM1 Mark III? Or something like that, something that was staying within their lane, right? Staying within their lane. Instead of going, yeah, it looks like a little bit outside their lane here with the EM1X. And this is the thing that I was wrestling with that night. $3,000 Micro Four Thirds sensor, what's going on here? And then it dawned on me, what's going on here is that Olympus is showing us what they can do. They are showing us their technology. They are showing us their capability. And that part is important for people, well, for a number of groups. The first group that that's important for are the people who are already fans of Micro Four Thirds technology. And think about this for a second. So if you shoot Micro Four Thirds, if you shoot a mirrorless, a Panasonic or Olympus camera, and you have been seen the announcements by Nikon, by Canon, by Sony, and then Panasonic sort of jumping ship, at least that's what it feels like, going to full frame sensor. So you're sitting back and you're watching all of this activity go on, and then you're holding, you know, your EM1 Mark II or your PenF or whatever you happen to have and going, well, what about me? What does this mean? Is this doom for the camera company that I like so much that I switched to? I left Canon to come to this, and now am I going to be left behind? Olympus is aware of that. I mean, they knew about these full-frame cameras before we did, right? I mean, this is their job, to stay on top of what's going on, and I'm sure there were some discussions with Panasonic and all that kind of stuff. And so one of the first things that they probably felt, and no one's had discussions with me about this. This is all conjecture on my behalf. But probably one of the first things that they thought about is, okay, how do we prove to our existing customers that we have chops, that we can get the job done, that we're moving forward? And I think one of the answers to that question for Olympus was, let's build a camera that maybe not all of our customers will buy, but that they will appreciate, that they will respect. A camera that maybe is a notch above what they need, but it shows that the company, that, you know, those lenses that they have in their camera bag, you know, will continue to hold their value. And I think that is one of the key things about this camera, is that it is an aspirational device. Now, I want to get into, and there's other reasons too, but let's talk about this for a second. First of all, what's one of the things that I have been asking about really ever since the iPhone 8? That is, hey, camera manufacturers, start putting computational photography functions into the kind of camera body that I want to shoot with. And I sort of felt like that there must be some reason why no one was doing this, because I wanted it, other people wanted it, and it wasn't happening. So there had to be some sort of thing going on there. Well, I don't think there really was any true resistance to it. I think what had to happen was, how are we going to do that? They had to answer that question. And why would we do it? And to what ends, would this, satisfy our customer base? Well, Olympus has put computational photography functions into this camera, and there's going to be more. Now, the first one that I mentioned when I was doing the specs is the digital neutral density filter. This is really an interesting function because what the camera does is that it takes a number of shots and then it uses computational photography to figure out the effect of a 2x neutral density filter or a 4x or an 8x. And you can actually set the different settings that you want for this. And then it creates that effect for you. So all those calculations that you normally have to worry about with a neutral density filter, not to mention lugging the things around, not to mention having to buy them and all that kind of stuff, is taken care of for you by computational photography. And this is a great choice for, applying what I call a professional level or enthusiast level function using computational photography. Here's another one that you're not seeing much writing about, but it's interesting. It's going to continue to grow. They have programmed into this camera the ability to identify airplanes. So you can tell it, hey, I'm shooting airplanes. It will identify airplanes, lock in on airplanes or airplane, and then allow you to photograph it easily. So if you're at an air show or something like this, allowing you to do this with airplanes and race cars, and I think there's another one built in, having the camera be able to not only identify faces for portrait photography, but to identify certain types of objects and then lock in on them and then track them as they move, that is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. And since we know that Olympus is really good with firmware updates, that we are going to see an expansion of all these functions that we're just now getting a taste of. So having computational photography built into the camera that you already want to use with the interchangeable lenses that you already like is much different than having computational photography built into a smartphone that we all like having our smartphones with us. We all like shooting with them in certain instances. But most people that listen to this show also want a real camera with real lenses, right? Or at least interchangeable lenses. Let's put it that way. So this is huge. Now, getting to the aspirational part of this. So then Olympus users or Micro Four Thirds shooters, they see this. They see that Olympus is doing this. They see that Olympus has the ability to do it now. Well, then we all know if it's going to show up in this camera, then it's going to be in subsequent models down the road and maybe a model that I want to buy. Maybe the next Pen F, maybe the next EM5, which would be what, Mark III. Maybe one of those cameras that's more in my sweet spot will have this functionality. We know they can do it. It's just a matter of them deciding how to implement it in the different camera models. All right, so that's one of the examples. Another example that I think is really interesting is the handheld high resolution shot mode. Think about this. This is crazy, right? Because, the way that it worked when it was on a tripod is that because they can move that sensor around. So you take a shot, it moves the sensor around, and then it gathers all that data. Then basically it uses computational photography again to create one shot. Now, I saw test results of this done by independent, not by Olympus, but by an independent, and then comparing those high-res 50-megapixel handheld shots to shots from cameras that cost a lot more, that have much bigger sensors, and, cameras that we all know about. And it did great. It either did better in certain areas or it did easily as well. Now, here's the difference, though, with a handheld high-res shot. Yes, you don't need a tripod, and you can get even better results when you do use a tripod with high-res shot. But what it's not great for are moving objects. Right. So this is more for the landscape photographer. It could even be for the portrait photographer. Still lives, product shots, magazine covers, all that kind of stuff. That's great. So it doesn't work in every situation, but it's there. And if you happen to be the kind of photographer that's shooting things that aren't running at 50 miles an hour, then this could be very interesting for you. And suddenly, it doesn't make much difference what that 20 megapixel sensor is if you have 50 megapixel capability. And again, that's Olympus using its smarts, using computational photography to achieve a goal and to compete with cameras that are much bigger than theirs and in some cases much more expensive. Another area that this camera addresses, you know, first we talked about the existing user base. Then there's a niche user base, some existing, but maybe attract some new folks over, which are people who do sports photography. Now, the world of sports photography is a very interesting, and it really depends on what you need. But consider that Olympus announced the release of a 400 millimeter handheld lens, in addition to the 300 millimeter that they have right now. And then, of course, even the 40 to 150 millimeter. By the way, they announced a high quality 2x doubler for both the 40 to 150 and the 300 millimeter. And I think it even works on the big lens that they're working on. So you think about those lenses, the size of those lenses, the weight of those lenses, the fact that you don't need a monopod with those lenses, the fact that you can have up to 7 stops of image stabilization with those lenses. And then you think about the weight of those lenses and the size of even the EM1X, which is by far and away the biggest camera that Olympus has made in Micro Four Thirds body. You think about all that and you think about the weight and you think about, wow, there are going to be some action photographers who really like this. They may have already been dabbling around with Micro Four Thirds. They might have an EM1 Mark II. They might have one of the other cameras. And then suddenly they go, you know, I'm getting pretty good results from the camera I already have. And then they give me this with dual card slots, dual batteries, 7 stops of stabilization, and, you know, this frame rate that's just insane in terms of the speed at which I can shoot. And then they give me lenses that go with it. That's not such a bad proposition for me as a sports shooter. And I could see some sports shooters going, you know what, I'm going to go this way. And I could see the existing sports shooters, you know, one we've interviewed on this podcast. Thank you, Olympus, for continuing to support us. You know, I'm already working with the EM1 Mark II. It was good, but now this new camera is much better. So there are going to be folks who like this, and you're going to read a lot of people saying, no. If you're going to shoot sports, you're going to have to go with a bigger sensor and all of that. But the fact of the matter is it really depends on what kind of sports you're shooting and, you know, what you really need and how much you're willing to carry. And for those who want to travel a little lighter and work a little lighter, I think this camera is going to be very interesting to them. Now, the third area and the last area that I want to talk about as it relates to this camera is a little bit more squishy, but I still think there's something to it. And I think one of the things that Olympus wants to do, and remember, I have been working with Olympus cameras for a long time. I have Olympus film cameras that I shoot with that I just love. I understand Olympus in a lot of different ways. And I think one of the things that they want to do is also offer an alternative to what's going on, you know, with Canon, with Nikon, with Sony, and to some degree now even with Panasonic and Fuji. And I think this is something that Fuji does really well also, is offer an alternative, offer something that's a little different than what the pack is offering. And Fuji's having great success with their approach right now. And I think Olympus realizes that they will never be a Canon or they'll never be a Nikon. But I think they also believe that there will always be people who appreciate what they're doing. And those people will remain dedicated to the brand and say, look, I like something a little different. I don't want to shoot Canon. I don't want to shoot Nikon. I want to shoot something that's a little bit more innovative, that marches to a different drum. Olympus does that. So I think not only are they fine with being a niche camera brand, I think they're really embracing it with this camera. I really do. I think they're really saying, yeah, we're a little crazy, but we're brilliant. That is the third area. And believe me, I know that I could be way out on a limb with this, but somehow in my gut, I also feel like I'm right about this idea of being the company that offers something different than what everyone else is offering. So that's my current thinking on this camera. I have one coming, and actually B&H is sending me a review camera. I'll have it for a month, and I'm going to shoot with it, and then I'll do a formal review. But what I'm really going to test are the things that I talked about today. I really want to look at the computational photography part of it. I want to look at the GPS part of it. I want to look at handheld high-resolution shot. I want to look at these things that I think distinguish it from, you know, what's going on out there with the other camera brands. And then I'll publish my hands-on report separately. And of course, I'll let you know via the podcast. So those of you out there that are Olympus faithful, I really think that this camera should make you feel better about what's going on. And those of you out there that have never considered Olympus, I would take a look at this camera just because it's crazy. And I cannot wait to get my hands on it and see for myself how this technology is implemented. The Portfolio Box Tip of the Week and New Photo Contest and Contest Winner. All right. I think I lost the cover right there. So by default, when you publish a gallery on a Portfolio Box, the images are protected. And I like that they do that, you know, because you don't necessarily want people able to download your shots. However, there are going to be those instances where you want to allow that, and you can do that. You can allow visitors to right-click on images so that they can save them. And basically, in order to do that, all you have to do is go to Settings, and then under General in the Website section, check the box Enable Right-Click. And I have the step-by-step instructions. I have a link to them in the show notes. So for those galleries where you want to, you can enable right-click. Otherwise, the default is not enabled, which is the way that I think it should be for this type of site. Now we have a new photo contest, and the new photo contest is Up Close. That is the new photo contest. If you want to enter this, by the way, we had a great turnout for the last one, Black and White Portrait, which I'm going to talk about more in a second. But if you want to enter this one, it's the same deal. You send your best close-up image or macro image to thenimblephotographer@gmail.com by February 12th, 2019, with the subject line Up Close. The photographer that is chosen as, you know, top shot will receive a one-year pro account with Portfolio Box. So you will be upgraded to a one-year Portfolio Box Pro account, and that includes your custom domain name. And speaking of winners, we want to congratulate Reese Gwynn, who's tops in our TDS Black and White Portrait Challenge. This shot by Reese that won is fantastic. Now, on Sunday, I published the post on Digital Story with his shot, and also a very excellent runner-up shot as well. So I published both the winning shot and the runner-up shot so that you can see two of the images that were submitted, and they're fantastic. But I want to say congratulations to Reese. Fantastic black and white portrait. Interesting, creative, innovative, just all the way around wonderful. And I'll be getting in touch with you so that you can get your one-year Portfolio Box Pro site up and off the ground. Very exciting, and way to go, Reese. Now, to create your own Portfolio Box site, all you have to do is click on the link in the show notes or click on the tile that's on every page of the Digital Story, and you can set up a free site and start playing with these wonderful tools that I've been talking about. Make sure you do that, even if you don't think you're going to upgrade to a pro site, because later on, if you change your mind, which I think you might, and you want to upgrade to a pro site, if you go through my link on the Digital Story, you will get 20% off that $83 annual price. That, my friends, is a bargain. Big thanks to Portfolio Box for sponsoring this show, for sponsoring the contest, and a big thanks to everyone who participated in the Black and White Portrait Contest. Those shots were great. They were fantastic, and I can't wait to see what you do with the up-close contest that's going on right now. And remember, we have another pro membership to give away. Capture One Pro 12 Essential Training is coming soon. I'm putting the finishing touches on recording Capture One Pro 12. I love this version of Capture Pro. It looks good. I mean, they worked on the interface. They've added some beautiful things, radio screens and so forth. It is a pleasure, and there is so much that you can do with this application. So not only did I have fun learning about all the new features, but I'm really enjoying teaching them. After I finish, which will be this week, recording the title, it'll go into editing, and then hopefully we will have it out in late February. That's what I'm hoping for. I'll let you know. But for those of you who like Capture One Pro or who are thinking about possibly trying Capture One Pro, I've got a great essential training coming out. It will be both on LinkedIn Learning and lynda.com. It's fast-paced, it's entertaining, and it's informative. I think you'll really dig it. I'll keep you posted, but I just wanted to put it on your radar. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members. By the way, we're having a lot of fun over on that site. We have a new photo challenge over there right now. It's raw capture. Isn't that cool? So that photo challenge is, you know, a shot that came directly out of your camera. That's what we're using for the challenge, to see, you know, who has the best shot that came right out of their camera. And I'm really enjoying those images. I just love that crowd that's over there. They're a lot of fun. You know, obviously, I'm thankful to them for supporting the site. And we're really building a nice community over there. If you want to be a part of it, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on every page of the Digital Story. You can learn more about what's happening with the Inner Circle and become a part of the Inner Circle. And as I mentioned before, big thanks to everyone who's there right now. You guys are the best. You're a lot of fun to hang out with, and I really appreciate you supporting the site. And finally, a big nod to our friends at Red River Paper. I just did some printing on the metallic paper the other day. You know, I worked through that whole thing with the Mojave, macOS Mojave, and the Canon Pro 100, where there's a few printing functions that it didn't want to do. Well, I got those all figured out and I started printing again. And I was printing on this metallic paper that they just came out with a few months ago. And I have to tell you, it is so cool. I took a day shot from Las Vegas. Not a night shot, but a day shot from Las Vegas that I really liked. And I printed on that metallic paper, and I just go, I love this shot. The metallic paper just made all the difference in the world. This is the kind of stuff that Red River does. This is the kind of satisfaction that their tools provide. And if you're thinking about printing again, I highly encourage it. Go over to the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story, Red River tile. Take a look at everything that's going on there. Try their sample pack. Read a few of their tutorials. You know, really give this a go and see what you think. They also have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. It is so much fun printing your own work. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. Can't wait to get my hands on that new Olympus camera. Really looking forward to getting my new Capture One Pro 12 title out there. And looking forward to meeting with you again next week. Come back next Tuesday. I got some great stories for you. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.